Welcome to the May 3rd, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Hey there. So I am Addison Berry, and I am hosting the Drupalize Me podcast, where we talk all things Drupal every other Friday. Today, I have with me a small group of folks. I am here with
Kyle Hoffmeyer,
as well as
Greg Dunlap
and
Emma Westby.
And this is, so Greg, so like our last podcast, Emma was her first time as a Lullabot. This time, Greg's been on the Lullabot podcast before, but not as a Lullabot.
That's right.
Greg's a Lullabot. Woo!
Greg's in the house. Say yeah.
In the podcast, oh, yeah. His house. So today, the reason I have these fine folks gathered is today we're going to talk about, how getting to a sustainable core development. Like, people need to actually do core development. And it's a lot of work. And you know what? If people aren't making money while they do it, it's really hard for them to get it done. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is sustainable core development requires money. And what does that mean, and what does that look like, and how can that work? Before we get in, quick announcements. I'm trying to keep the announcements quick. I'm sorry. There's things happening. Our entity series is continuing, so we have a whole thing on creating custom entity using the entity API. If you want to check that stuff out, we sent more out this week, and we'll be finishing that up in 2 weeks from this podcast. DrupalCon is coming up, like, really fast. Like, this is like 2.5 weeks away now, which is, I'm not thinking about my presentation. I'm not thinking about that right now. But one thing I wanted to mention that is cool and fun is that the Lullabot party has gotten all nailed down. So it's kind of epic every single DrupalCon. We are going to
be the event of the con.
It's pretty awesome, I guess. I mean, of course, but it is. It's fun. So this year, we're going to be doing it at a place called the Wonder Ballroom. How awesome a name is that? That is in Portland. The doors are going to open at 7 o'clock, and Jeff Robbins' band Orbit is actually going to be playing. So we're going to have ourselves a little rock show that starts at 9. And then we'll have a DJ after the show going into the night. So, and that is going to be on Tuesday, May 21st. So the first day of the conference itself, that night, Lullabot party, doors opening at 7 p.m. So we'll be handing out like invitations and stuff like that at the conference. So make sure you like come to the booth and pick that up.
Will they be on floppy disks again?
Yes, they will.
Yes.
Once you start it, man, you can't stop. Like, it's just cool. So, yeah, we do invitations of style, people. And then other DrupalCon news for us, at least, our Real World Drupal workshop is sold out. So if you missed it, I'm sorry. But and they don't have a waiting list. But if you, and this is true for all of the workshops, because there are actually 4 that are sold out at this point. If you really want to go to one of those workshops, there's not a waiting list, but what you can do is show up on the morning of the conference, the training day, which is the Monday, and see if there are any seats available, or if someone doesn't show up for their seat, then you can go ahead and sign up and jump into the class that morning. So that's how they're working that. But we do also have the PSD to theme workshop, and there are still a few seats left for that. So you should sign up for that now so that you don't end up having to wait around on that Monday morning to try and get into it. And if you can't get to Portland for DrupalCon, because, you know, it's kind of far away for a lot of people on the planet, there are other Drupal events that are happening around the world. The ones that I know about that are happening around either the weekend before or after are Drupal Jam in the Netherlands, Drupal Camp in Dublin, Ireland, and Drupal Camp in Gothenburg, Sweden. So, you know, go hang out with your fellow buddies in your local area if you're near those. And then last thing I want to mention, I'm trying to, when I talk about events, there's Drupal stuff, and that's awesome, but there are also other events that are going on, and this whole idea of branching out a little bit beyond Drupal into the greater web world. And there is the Artifact Conference is happening in Austin, Texas, May 13th through 15th. And it is a conference for designers adapting to the challenge of designing for a multi-device world. So, you know, what's going on with technology and how that affects designers? An entire conference around that. And our creative director, Jared Ponchat, is actually going to be speaking at that event. And we're also a silver sponsor there. But it looks like a really cool thing that's happening down there. So if you're down in the Texas area, Artifact Conf, although I think that is sold out, but I think that they might have a waiting list for it. Okay, so that's it with announcements. Moving on, trying to keep it simple. That wasn't simple. I'm not good at keeping it simple.
It was pretty simple.
Was it? Okay, good. So let's talk money. Well, okay, so let me give just, I'm going to take one step back to give a little bit of context before we dive into this, which is Greg is an initiative lead for CMI, which is the Configuration Management Initiative, and so for Drupal 8. And so he's been working on, well, he's been working on configuration management issues for years and years and years prior to Drupal 8. He's done a lot of work leading up to it. He became the initiative lead for this particular thing, which was a very important thing for getting into Drupal. And he has spent years of his life working on this to make it happen. And at the end of the day, it's a lot of time and energy. There's a lot of, it's not just writing code. There's a lot of wrangling. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of conversations that need to happen. So there's a lot of emotional energy, but there's also just literally like time, endless amounts of time that need to be poured into managing something that complex. And Greg's take on making that end up happening, particularly in the last year, was to go out and try and find some funding, because this is not something you can just kind of do, you know, I don't know, out of your back pocket every once in a while. But so what I would like to start it off, I guess, what is your take, Greg, on terms of how you came into, you know, being the initiative lead, how you were, how did you manage to do it to begin with? And then what led you to actually seeking funding from the community and various sources that are out there?
Well, when I started, I was working for a company called Node One, now Wunderkraut, in Sweden, and they had hired me initially to work on these issues for the next version of Core. Not specifically to do that full time, but one of the reasons that they were interested in me was because they were having a lot of problems with configuration management and content deployment, and one of their employees, Dick Olson, had been helping me out a lot on a module that I was maintaining called Deploy. And they were very interested in having that expertise in-house and in sort of increasing their profile in the community from the development side, and that was where they wanted to focus. And so that was a big part of them hiring me in the first place. And when I got asked to do this initiative, I came to them because I knew I couldn't do it without some time from my job. You know, I was living overseas and I didn't want to be spending every single minute of spare time working on Core, because as you say, Core is a very time consuming thing and it takes a lot of energy. And so they contributed half of my billable hours to work on Core, which was really great. And they were also very flexible in allowing me to do things like travel for code sprints and cons and all of that kind of stuff. And so for about a year probably, I worked off of that time and my own spare time and going to conferences and stuff. We got a lot done as code sprints. I ended up flying back and forth to the U.S. 5 times in that year to go to code sprints and cons and camps and all of these kinds of things. And funding came from other places. I know that Lullabot flew me over to speak at Do It With Drupal once. And then from there, I got to go to Bad Camp and Pacific Northwest Drupal Summit and all of these things. So there was a lot of support coming from a lot of places, but mostly it was coming from Node One and their generosity. And after I left Sweden and came back to the U.S., I was doing some freelancing, and I was having a really hard time balancing that with the fact that I was back in the U.S. and again wanting to live a life and freelancing and finding new clients and working on Core. it was really, really difficult for me. And so I was trying to figure out how to resolve that. And I was at, I forget what camp I was at, and a lot of people were coming up to me and saying, "We're so happy that you're working on this, and we're really, really looking forward to it. And it's like so important to our business, and it's so important to the future of Drupal," and stuff like that. And it started me thinking, you know, if it's really that important to business, I, you know, maybe these people would be willing to pay for to make it happen more quickly, or with more, or to pay to have, make more hours to get it farther along, or stuff like that. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you sit down and add up all of the hours that consulting companies spend doing things like wrangling features and views exports and trying to get things deployed on time and managing continuous integration and, you know, duplicate copies of sites with duplicate content entry and writing migrate module stuff and all of these things, it's an enormous amount of a project just doing those things. And if you could reduce that by a significant amount, we're talking about a significant amount of time savings for these companies. We're talking about a significant selling point when they're bidding for projects against non-Drupal platforms and all of this kind of thing. So I started approaching companies. They wanted to fund to see if they wanted to fund me to work on Core full time. And that really started in earnest probably about the time of DrupalCon Munich.
So before we get into the details of getting funding and how that worked for you or didn't work, as the case may be, one of the things I think, the first thing that when people start talking about money and Drupal and Drupal Core in particular, they get a little freaked out of, oh, so is someone buying Drupal Core development? Like, are they owning, you know, and deciding what's happening in Drupal Core because they're paying for it?
Right. I had to be very clear with people. You know, a model that a lot of people wanted to see was the sort of model where you complete specific features, and then once you reach those milestones, we will give you money. But every time that came up, I had to refuse it, because that's not how core development works, you know. I can't guarantee that any given feature is actually going to get done. I certainly can't guarantee a timeline, and I need my, you know, income to be predictable if I'm going to be doing things like making my rent and stuff like that. And so anytime people brought up wanting to pay for specific features, or to only pay a specific features got done and things like that, I had to decline it, and I had to make very clear. I wrote up business proposals and contracts and all of these things, and I had to make it very clear in those things that all they're doing is paying for me to work, is really what it comes down to progress the initiative. And I put things like, these will be my areas of focus, and these are the things that I think are very high priority and stuff like that. But in the end of the day, really all that they're paying for is for me to have the ability to work on the things that I deem most important. And it's hard for, you know, I mean, obviously that's a difficult sell for a lot of people. And I've been really humbled by the amount of trust the community has put into me to get this, to do this work and get it done.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, like, that whole point, too, is, like, you know, just because you pay somebody to work on Core, that's not how the code actually gets into Core. Like, you can't actually pull a trigger and say, this is now in Core yourself. There's the whole community process involved, so there's, you know, a limited amount of impact. I mean, obviously, you're influential in terms of that, but as I'm sure... you are very well aware of, there are a lot of arguments amongst influential people. So yeah, it's not about buying Drupal.
Right, right. I mean, that's really and it's really impossible for anyone to do that. I mean, because unless you're a core committer, you can't put anything in at all. And all of the core committers have the tendency to wait for community consensus to build to whatever extent before actually committing something. So this idea that any one company can have that much influence on Core is a little It's kind of balanced by the way that the whole community works in general, you know, which is good in the end, I think, even if it's a little troublesome in other ways sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So now that we've established that nobody's buying Drupal here. So you had a company who was funding part of your time, and then mm-hmm. you were freelance, and now you actually had, I mean, did you go out and ask people for money? Did people approach you and just give you money? What was that like?
I actually probably spent pretty much all of August of last year doing fundraising, and I had a lot of help getting prepared for that. Michael Myers from Acquia's large scale Drupal program was an enormous help for me getting things like business proposals together that were written in a way that CEOs would respond to and things like this, so that I could go out and actually pitch people. And he would sit on the phone with me and I would do dry runs of pitches with him, and he would give me feedback and stuff. And all of that was really, really helpful. Angie had actually helped me write a business proposal earlier on for another fundraising thing we were talking about doing that had never gotten off the ground. And I used that as the basis for the one that I ended up writing to. But in the end, it really came down to knocking on doors and you know, bringing people along and trying to find people who were, you know, receptive to what I was putting out there. And you learn a lot of things. Like, for instance, at first I was thinking, you know, I should go after, you know, big companies because they've got a lot of money and this will be a drop in the bucket and I can make a really good ROI pitch to a company like, you know, NBC or something like that, and say, you know, it's really, really easy to tell them that, you know, you're wasting hundreds of hours dealing with this crap every day and for a very small amount of money, go away. But one of the things that you hear from those companies a lot of the time is that they don't want to pay any money now for something they're not going to see for 2 years. As I went along, I was talking to Pantheon about this, and, you know, being a more product-focused company, they have a little bit of a longer-term view and a little bit more of a investment strategy and an idea of getting a competitive advantage and things like this. And so that actually started, after I had some success with them, I started approaching hosting companies and I started having a lot more luck on that angle. And it's interesting because once you get a couple of big donations in your back pocket, those first couple are really, really difficult to get. But after you have them, people sort of become more confident that what you're pitching is going to actually happen, and then it becomes a lot easier after that to get people to put in. And there was all sorts of, you know, it's interesting because when people ask me how I did this, you know, one of the things is that in order to fundraise, you have to go out and fundraise. You know, I mean, you can't just put a chip in up. And post a article on Drupal Planet and expect the money to flow in. It was a lot of work, and you have to accept the fact that, you know, 90% of your pitches aren't going to get anywhere. And I did, you know, and like I said, I spent about a month doing this, and I used all sorts of resources. I actually remember at Munich, I was sitting around talking to Emma Jane about this, and on her own, she went and cold emailed like 20 hosting providers, and you know, I got a $5,000 donation out of one of those. You know, you never know what of these things are going to help or bring in the money, and you have to be willing to just, you know, sort of put yourself out there to a lot of people and accept the fact that a lot of it's not going to work and it's just going to take a lot of time, and it's good in the long run.
So that took a lot of time and energy that you weren't focused on working or on Drupal Core.
Right, right.
So, and, you know, I don't know, like, currently, like, what the breakdown is in terms of people who are working on Core who are funded or partially funded by the company they work for or a company of some sort. But, you know, there are, but I know that there are quite a few freelancers, you know, or people who are not supported at all by their company and have to spend their time purely in free time and stuff like that.
Right.
So in terms of, well, I mean, so for me, like, so this is like your personal journey, the road that you took to accomplish the things that you wanted to be able to accomplish and still have something resembling a life. But what does that mean in terms of Drupal core development, period, like going forward? Like, this has been a really complex, you know, Drupal is getting more and more complex. We're doing lots of things, like, and it's great, but it's requiring, you know, a lot of time from people who don't necessarily have that time to give as much as they might want to. So what does that mean for other people doing this same kind of thing in the future? I mean, because it sounds to me like, I mean, that's great, and it's awesome that you got funding to be able to continue the work that you were doing. But, like, if what if there was, like, you know, 10 different core developers all doing the same thing, talking to all the same people, and having to spend all of that time fundraising rather than working? Like, that sounds also annoying.
Or yeah, it's really hard. I spent a lot of time in the last year going to generalized open source conferences and not just Drupal conferences. And you know, I wanted to talk to a lot of people about how at other open source projects about how they manage this. You know, because you know, we're not the only large-scale open source project in the world by any means. And what you find out when you talk to those companies, or I mean, not those companies, those projects, is that almost all of them have corporate backing of some sort. Mm. For instance, Ubuntu, they have Canonical behind them, and they employ 150 developers just to work on Ubuntu, you know. And you know, Mongo has the same thing with Tengen, and all of the Java projects have, you know, and, you know, all of Google's projects, and, you know, there's all of these open source projects that have these corporate backers, and we don't have that, right? And so it's a really difficult problem, and I don't have any real, like, answer for it. I mean, there has been success, especially in this release cycle, about people getting paid to do certain things in core. For instance, Chex is getting funded by Tengen to reduce Drupal 8's dependence on SQL databases, right? And that's something Chex wanted to do anyways, so it was fine. And I got this funding, and there have been other instances of people being funded to focus on specific things. But what that really misses out on is things like people like who, for instance, spend all day doing nothing but reviewing issues and pruning the issue queue and keeping the issue queue manageable, right? And that's an incredibly valuable thing. Like, somebody who is paid full-time just to sit around and review core issues, like a generalized core developer, that would be incredibly valuable. And what you really need for those people to have is just jobs, right? They need to have jobs where they can just sit around and be stable and be able to focus without having to worry about where their next paycheck is coming from, and just work on core wherever it needs to happen. We see some of that happening at Acquia with their their Octo group. Like, for instance, Alex Bronstein, Effulgencia, is basically all he does is work on and review high priority core issues. And, you know, they just hired XJM and obviously Angie and lot, and, you know, working on the Spark project, and they're giving a lot to core. But, you know, one of the great things about Drupal is that it's had a really, really diverse and wide-ranging community and a wide-ranging, you know, variety of inputs from different places. And I would love being up and doing something like that, you know, hiring people full-time just to work on core in general, just to keep Drupal stable, because these companies depend on it, you know, and these companies are, you know, getting a great deal of income out of the savings that they get out of Drupal. And long-term, I think that's the kind of thing we're going to need to see. But I don't really have a lot of ideas about how to make that happen, to be honest. And, you know, I did my thing, and obviously Acquia's large-scale Drupal program is doing stuff in this area. And I think it's just something we're going to need to keep experimenting with and trying to figure out a way to make it happen. Because I've been saying for a while now that Drupal has all of the business and economic pressures of a large-scale software project with none of the resources, basically. And that can't work forever, you know. I mean, people get burnt out. I'm kind of burnt out, and I was actually getting paid to do this most of the time. I don't understand how people do this all in their spare time. It really boggles my mind. And so I think it's just a discussion that's going to have to keep happening around funding and around time and around, you know, different ways of organizing our process in order to make things more manageable.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing too about like funding and like, you know, kind of back to the first question I had where, you know, like there's also, it feels to me that, you know, in the open source world, generally, the mixing of open source stuff and money is always fraught at some level. The Drupal community, I think one of the reasons that Drupal has been as successful as it has been is that it embraced money and making money fairly early on in the community. There are other communities that are just completely dead set against people making money from open source,
which is
sad, because then, you know, how does the software actually thrive then? So I think the Drupal community has been very good with that, but it's still an open source community, and it's still the whole money thing is fraught. And, you know, having, you know, it's like this tension between having big companies who can afford to hire somebody full time working on things, and, you know, it's not going to be many. Most small, medium companies simply can't afford that in terms of revenue.
Sure.
So, you know, it has to be like the big companies that are doing this, either Drupal shops or, you know, just big companies who are using Drupal or something like that. And then you get back to these whole things about like, okay, well, the direction, the people, you know, what ends up going into Drupal core is obviously kind of decided by the community, but nothing's going to go into core if somebody doesn't actually do it first. And so all of these things that people are paying essentially to kind of get done have a better chance of getting into core than when it's something that, you know, not as many people want, or it's not big business focused is often the big thing that people talk about, right? And so you end up with a lot of fear in the community that it's like, it's just sort of this double-edged sword, because it's like people need to be able to eat and pay their rent in order to tackle the sort of breadth and depth of issues that the Drupal software is, you know, diving into at this point. But the people who can fund that are the really big businesses, and then people are like, oh, but now the big business is determining these things, and so the little people who are on shared hosting are getting completely left behind because they don't have the same voice and influence. So it's like a weird catch-22 in terms of at least perception.
It's interesting, and it kind of, you know, a lot of ways depends on what your goals are. You know, if your goal is to just have a solid software project with limited scope that, you know, a small market uses, then you don't have to worry about a lot of these problems, right? You can just, you know, get by on volunteer time and passion and stuff like that. And, you know, basically that's what Drupal was all the way up until around the late five cycle. Right. But I mean, you know, Dries has made it clear that that's never been his goal. His goal has been to change the world. And when you want to change the world, you've got to have a different set of focus and priorities. And you know, what you talk about with the corporate influence has sort of been happening behind the scenes, or, you know, without anybody really thinking about it for a really long time, because a lot of core development has happened as the result of patches that people at service companies have written for clients. And, you know, those clients, as Drupal has grown, those clients have grown to be bigger and bigger companies. And you know, it makes sense when you want to change the world, when you want to grow something to be really, really significant and have a really large impact, that those companies are going to come in and, you know, and get their stuff into core. And a lot of times, you know, like for instance, the NoSQL field storage stuff happened really exclusively in Drupal 7 because Chex pushed it through for Examiner. And that's, you know, I think that stuff is fine. It's what happens, you know. If you want to have a project that's going to have a lot of impact, then the economic realities of the world are that somebody's going to have to pay for that impact to happen. I don't think that's bad necessarily, you know. I think that's just something, that's just a framework we have to accept and work within. And if your goals don't align with those of the project, then, you know, there are lots of other projects out there that do. And I think that's good too, you know. There should be lots of different projects with different goals and different priorities and different kinds of groups of people working for them. I think it's all good. Although definitely, obviously, for our community, because it's happened so fast, it's definitely been a tough adjustment, I think.
Yeah, and you and I have talked in the past before, I mean, just even around community stuff generally, and that the sort of rapid growth, you know, it was like this scrappy little startup, and now it's becoming more like an established, company, as it were, in just creating like a, you know, a parallel metaphor kind of a thing. But and that, you know, there are some people who love the experience of the scrappy startup, and but, you know, so going to work for a big company or something would not really suit them. And there is an element to that with the community growth, because when a community first started to just grow, just community-wise, not even talking about core development, I was a little put off and a little like, wow, where's my, you know, this, I liked the little buddy system we had, you know, and it was like small and manageable, yeah. And I knew people and I understood what was going on and I could kind of keep my feelers in many different aspects of what was happening, and now it's so big and there's so many people, I feel out of touch, and I don't, you know, I don't feel as engaged. Now I've modified that and done other things with it, you know, and obviously I'm still here and I'm still engaged, but for some people, that doesn't work. That it's just not the right scale for where they want to be. And it is an interesting thing in terms of it's a transition. It's been a growing thing for us, and it's tough. I mean, you know, it's not. There's you can't please everybody. So.
Yeah, I mean, to highlight that, one of the things that I, you know, this cycle, Dries introduced the concept of the initiative leads, right? Which is sort of like introducing middle management for Drupal, right? Yeah. It's like creating these people who are in charge of a project and rallying the troops. But the funny thing is that by the time we got to that point, it was already like beyond the point where one person could rally a project. I mean, I've had an incredibly difficult time rallying CMI just by myself. And when you look at the core process that worked, that was really successful in Drupal 8, I look at Views, and they did it because they had a team, right? They had four people working in various degrees of funding on Views to get Views into core. And it's like we had only just gotten to the point where we were talking about, you know, having a project manager for a project. And what the Views team showed us is that we had already gone past the point where one person can manage a project. You actually need a team of people to manage a project, you know. I mean, that's like how big core has grown and gotten at this point. And you know, if I was to go back and do CMI again right now, what I would have done is I would have built that team and fundraised for the team from the very beginning. And basically, my half job would just be fundraising so that everybody else can work. I think that's one of the big learns that we've taken from Drupal from this release cycle, is that a team of people with a variety of skill sets and a variety of availability is really important, because, you know, like when I would get burnt out on core or an argument or something, I didn't have anyone to pass it off to, or if I went on vacation, I was gone for 2 weeks, you know, and who knows what's going to happen in that time. And so but I mean, you know, that's just one more example of how our growth mirrors, you know, what happens at large companies, because at large companies, when you grow to a certain point, the sort of, you know, Everybody does what they want to. It just doesn't scale. And, you know, we ran contributor stats for Core yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we have almost 1,300 contributors for Drupal 8 now at this point. And so...
It's a lot of cats to herd.
Yeah, that's a lot of cats to herd. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm the initiative lead, but I've only got like 40 patches. And I've only got my name on like 40 patches in Core, because the vast majority of what I did during this cycle was mediate discussions on IRC, coordinate code sprints, review patches, get people who I know patches needed sign-off on to review them, you know, try and get arguments to come to some common ground so that we could move forward, testing, you know, all of these kinds of things. And, you know, I wrote very little code in this cycle. And almost all I did was like cat herd and mediate and stuff.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I totally hear you.
It takes a special skill set to want to do that. You know, most of our Core people are really developers and they want to write code. You know, it definitely, we definitely have to attract a different kind of person.
When I was doing, you know, the doc team lead stuff, like I spent very little time doing documentation at that point.
Right. Sure. Of course.
You know, cause it's management. It's managing the processes and taking care of all of the, you know, the stuff that people don't want to deal with because they just want to, you know, focus on the things they enjoy, which is cool and I get it. But that, like, same thing for docs team, like having one docs lead is laughable. It's not a job that's manageable or sustainable at all, for one person to take on. So, well, we should probably wrap this up, but if people want to talk to you about this kind of stuff rather than the CMI stuff that I think most people know you for, where would they find you? Or, like, I'm curious, do you have any presentations on this, or is this just stuff you like to talk about?
I'm doing a Core conversation on sustainable Core development at DrupalCon Portland. I think it'll be cool. Early on Monday, like the first or second session slot on Tuesday, I mean, the first or second session slot of the first day of the conference, where I'll be talking about some of these funding issues and also how other aspects of Core development sort of interrelate and things that we can look at going forward to sort of keep, you know, again, keep Core development sustainable and make sure that we can keep growing and pushing forward. And, you know, anybody who wants to contact me can do so through Drupal.org or on IRC, or at my website, heyrocker.com. I've got my contact form there. And, you know, I'm Heyrocker on every social media known to man. So there are lots of ways to get a hold of me if people want to.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. You and I have talked about this quite a bit, so it's good to check in and see where things are on that. And it's, I mean, this is important stuff, folks. Everybody just thinks that Drupal Core just churns along in the background and just magically happens. It's not magic. It's blood, sweat, and tears. So,
a lot of all of those.
Yes. But yeah, thanks a lot, Greg. This is awesome.
No, thank you. I mean, it's been great.
All right. And, I will put, your contact some contact info for you in the podcast notes, so if anybody wants to just go to the podcast note and, you know, click a link to figure out where Greg is, you can get in touch with him. And if you're going to be in Portland, pretty much the entire Lullabot team is going to be in Portland, so you can find all of us and bend our ear, as it were.
If you're interested in getting into Core, development in Portland, I highly recommend the new Core Contributor Sprint, which will be on Friday at the end of the con. It's a really, really great way to have a bunch of people who are dedicated to getting people involved in Core and growing the Drupal contributor base together, and, you know, being just really, really helpful and kind and you know, just. Just
taking
really
you by the hand.
Taking you by the hand and making people comfortable with Core development, which is hugely important, and it's a really great thing.
Yeah, I've been involved with it a number of times now, and we do a little workshop at the beginning, all about, like, what the hell is the issue queue and how do I supposed to use that thing. But the people who run the Get Involved with Core Sprint and do the core mentoring are amazing people, because they're people. They're not amazing. I didn't say amazing developers. I said amazing people. Right. So it's really just a fun time to come and learn and just relax and not feel like, you know, it's a big scary world that you can't get involved with.
Yeah, and Dries and Angie are always there and around to commit patches. And like, whenever a new contributor gets their first core patch in, a lot of times Dries or Angie will get up on the stage at the front and bring them up and commit it from the stage and shake their hands and stuff. And it's a really great way for like to like it like builds excitement. And I love seeing that happen. I think it's really cool.
Right on. Well, I will see you in Portland in 2.5 weeks.
Oh my god.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stress you out. So I'm trying not to stress myself out either. Only stressful because we have presentations that are not completely done. That's why we're stressed. That's other than that, it's going to be a blast. But I will see you in Portland. I hope I see a whole bunch of listeners in Portland. We're going to have a booth. There'll be a Lullabot booth and a Drupalize Me booth. We have some fun stuff planned at our booth, so come and say hi. You know, that's all I got to say. Come say hi. If you're not in Portland, a couple of us are also going to be in Prague, so we can do the North American and European thing. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, and I will talk to you all on the flip side.